Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's great to see you this morning. So sit back, grab your cup of coffee or tea, and let's chat about what's happening up in the sky today. Hopefully you all had a wonderful full moon, either very early this morning if you were on the East Coast or late yesterday evening. I was unable to actually see the full moon. Too bad. So sad. It's what happens here in the Pacific Northwest. The clouds come in. But I found myself last night not able to go to sleep easily either. And I don't know if that was because I could see just this faint glow in the sky, like the full moon was behind the clouds, shining through the clouds a bit, even though I couldn't visually see the moon itself. So I was feeling a bit like wound up. And so that was kind of interesting. I finally got out of bed and wandered my house a bit, intending to just grab my Kindle and sit down and read. But then I started yawning and I went, why are you wandering the house? Go to bed. So I did. When I get into bed, I realize my husband is laying on my pillow. So I had to grab the pillow out from underneath him, and he woke up, and, you know, then I was able to go to sleep. That was the whole problem. He had been on my pillow and I couldn't actually get comfy. So that's one of the things that happens with the full moon, right? We get stimulated, and especially because the full moon at this point in time was moving over the same degree of Gemini that my sun is at. So, or close enough to it, it was actually stimulating my personality and my energy. So anyway, let's talk a bit about the full moon. How did it go for you? What did you release? What was revealed to you, or what was announced to you? Like, what came up from the deep bowels of your soul to the energy of the ego? What were you being downloaded or uploaded with? Sometimes this happens in dreams. Sometimes it just happens in a series of thoughts that you're having, or in some way it is represented by what your focus is on during the last part of the hours leading to either the new moon or the full moon. And that would tell you then a little bit about what's happening for you, what's coming up. Now, remember yesterday I told you as soon as the moon went full, the next moment it turned into the void. So we've been left in a long-term void of course moon. It is void until 3:23 p.m. my time today. So 6:23 for you all in the East Coast and all the parts in between. And for all of you in Europe and Australia, later than that. So we have this long period of time where we may feel like we are in information overload. I guarantee you that the people that joined me last night in the Astrology of 2020 webinar might be feeling a little bit like that today. I know maybe I'm feeling even the backwash from having to transmit all of that information to people. And trust me, there were vast amounts of information and oh, so much more that I could have shared that I just didn't have the time to share in a reasonable amount of time. So if you're feeling like you have information overload today, don't add to it, right? Just allow yourself to process and process some more everything that has come up, or everything, the information that you received, and without an agenda, without trying to put it somewhere, without trying to make it be something else. And then also, this isn't going to be a great day then to make any kind of big decisions, because you have a lot of overloaded circuits going on already within your mind. So if the mind is overloaded, then it can't get the communication down to the throat to be expressed very easily. And so therefore, it makes today not necessarily a great day to make big decisions. Now, the moon, like I said, is void until later this afternoon for us, late early evening for you all on the East Coast. And at that point, it moves out of Gemini and into Cancer, and immediately then comes into a square with Chiron and an opposition to Jupiter from Chiron being in Aries. So Aries and Cancer being square to one another, or a 90-degree relationship. in opposition to Jupiter, which is in opposition, meaning 180 degrees away. So exactly opposing, Jupiter being in Capricorn, the moon will be in Cancer. And then a sextile to Uranus, which is in Taurus, early degrees of Taurus. So we have two sort of irritating transits later in the day, followed by one that's not so irritating, but is possibly going to show up in surprising ways because we're dealing with Uranus. And so there you have the mix for a day that feels like we're going nowhere fast, and then some irritation perhaps at that as we end up the day. So don't take anything too seriously today is how I would put it. Do your best and make sure that you're not entering into some kind of negative form of self-talk where you're beating yourself up for your inability to do something or to get some point across to someone or to get some information, you know, trickled in. Just take your time with all of that today. Now, likely those of you who are air signs, so my Libras, my Aquarians, and my Geminis, you're probably going to do better than others with this because you're already used to having like idea and inspiration overload or following, you know, trails of wisdom and information. So you may have an easier time of it today, but likely my fixed signs in particular, Taurus and Taurus, the fixed water would be or a fixed air would be Aquarians, although you're still air, so you're probably okay. But fixed water, Scorpios, you guys might have a little bit more difficulty with this influx of information. And what do I do with it all? So just take it easy today, right? Just make it an easy day. You can't get much started anyway in a void of course moon. So just go with the flow, right? Just sit back and relax and just enjoy the ride. Let's see. Good morning this morning to Christine Erickson and Linda. Good morning to you, Debbie Hedden. Mimi, good morning to you. Ashley Imbernone, good morning. Marjorie, good morning. Christine Erickson says, hello. What a day for me. Work in school and I'm a counselor. What energies is it today? 12-12. So 12-12 today is a three remembering day. Most of the day, then it looks like you were probably in the void as well. So, you know, that makes for some craziness. The kids don't understand, of course, what the heck is going on, right? They're just out there being kids. Marissa, good morning. Angela, good morning. 3 days in a row. Yay. And we'll know when you don't show up then that you are having that baby. Marissa says, good morning. I literally said to my husband after the webinar last night that I had to process everything coming up in 2020. I totally get that. I totally get that. Even my neck and my shoulders this morning were kind of stiff and still feeling kind of headachey. And I thought, you know, that's information overload for you. Because even though I was the one transmitting that information, I had been absorbing all that information for days and putting it together in a way to be able to express it. So yeah, I'm feeling that overload myself this morning. Mimi, thank goodness the webinar is recorded. My personal clock was set for the incorrect time. And yes, the void of course moon is damping my motivation. It's okay. Sit back and relax, Mimi. Allison, good morning. Linda, good morning. How do I get to watch the webinar if I've missed it? Well, Linda, did you already purchase the webinar and then missed it? Because if you did, anybody who purchased it but wasn't able to attend will be able to get the recording. And that happens later today when I get an opportunity to process it, literally produce it, right? Get the video all, you know, together so that I can email that out. So if you purchased already, great. If not, then likely you'll have to purchase the recording, and I'm not sure how that will work yet. So I'll keep you posted on that here. Colleen, good morning to you. And Christine says, I was threatened by a parent today at work. Oh my goodness, that's terrible. But not unbelievable with the amount of energy flowing through the system. And I'm hoping that person was just having a bad day and that they can get over that and come to their senses and apologize to you later. That would be the high sign. And for you, just sending out waves of forgiveness, right? Just saying, you know, you understand that sometimes people are out of their minds or out of their heads and they don't understand what it is that they're doing. And just be open to forgiveness. Good morning, Heather Scott. It's great to see you. Marjorie says, I seem to be enjoying this moon with a balance of excitement and calm. Marjorie, what sign are you? Because that might help us determine why it is you're doing so well. I'm actually not doing bad either. But again, I'm a Gemini, so the moon in Gemini sort of is supportive of me, especially the later degrees of Gemini, because that's where my sun is in the chart. Okay, so let's, while I'm waiting for Marjorie to tell me what sign she is, yeah, that's not popping up yet, but oh well, I'll wait for that. And then let's talk a bit about what can we expect later today as the moon moves into Cancer, and what can we expect then for the next couple of days as, let's see, the moon is in Cancer until late in the evening on Saturday. So we'll talk more about the implications for that over the weekend, but tomorrow when we're talking about Friday and the weekend report. But for today, it won't happen until later in the day, so you can get prepared for what's to come. So as you know, the sign Cancer has the moon as its ruling planet. So anytime the moon moves through Cancer, it is definitely more powerful than it is when it's in other signs. And it is also a trigger to more of our emotional selves. So the moon in Cancer sort of rules the energy of intimacy and how we come together in relationship, how we feel in relationships, not how we bond or not how we are attracted to one another. That's Venus's realm. But this, the moon talks about how we feel emotionally connectedness, how we are emotionally connected within our relationships, sort of soul to soul connections, and how it is that we feel nurtured, or how we nurture others within the confines of relationships. And this might be your love relationships, your relationship to your children or your friends even, or other people in your family. The moon deals with intimacy on a broader level. Venus deals with it more on the relationship, the one-on-one relationship that we have with a lover or a husband or a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing. But the moon also is about compassion. And here we learn to have compassion, not only for others who might be going through something, but also for our own selves. And Libra, that's why, Marjorie, Libra is an air sign. So of course you do well there. And your moon is in Cancer, so you'll be fine here too. So, and Christine, I'll talk about your thing here in a second. So with intimacy issues up, there can be issues that pop up emotionally where we feel moody, or maybe we feel sensitive, where our sort of hearts on our sleeves, or our emotions on our sleeves is probably the more appropriate way to put that. And something that someone says could, you know, cause pain or a wound for us. That's also appropriate when today also Chiron turns to forward motion after being in retrograde since July. So we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But, you know, there's this feeling that, you know, that emotionally you could be triggered over the next couple of days as you're more sensitive. You may actually, you know, be tapped into other people's suffering or sensitivity as well. I liken my people with the moon in Cancer, or my Cancer sun people, as being sort of the receiver of what the collective mood is. So I often hear from my Cancer clients that they wake up sometimes in the morning and they have these moods or these feelings and they don't know why, because nothing's happened. They wake up angry, or they wake up sad, or they wake up joyful, or, you know, things like that. Well, while they were sleeping, they were picking up the feelings of the collective. So it's always useful for you to remember, if you have a Cancer moon or Cancer rising sign or a Cancer sun sign, to ask yourself, whose feelings am I feeling? Right? Where did I come up with this? Because moodiness is a part of the experience of the moon in Cancer. We all may be asking ourselves that. Whose mood am I feeling? You know, what happened? It seems, you know, for me as a Cancer rising and Mercury in Cancer, sometimes I feel like some kind of switch turned where I was fine. And then somehow later, maybe it was triggered by a thought, something someone said, something I read that sends me into some kind of mood, whether it's the joyful kind or the more depressive kind. So asking yourself then, whose feelings am I feeling? Because maybe what you're tapping into is somebody else that needs your help. in moving through the emotions that they're feeling for the day. So we're moody, we might be more sensitive, and sensitive in that we might feel more sensitive, but we might also be tapping into other people's feelings. But we can also apply heartfelt understanding to other people here in the moment. And that's why I say, Christine, so the mother was screaming at you, and I'm so happy I stayed calm. Exactly. So, you know, an emotional expression, an outburst. But really, you know, what was the mother experiencing? Was there some kind of fear that was triggered here? Some kind of inadequacy that you triggered? Not that you did anything wrong, and that's not what I mean at all. But sometimes, you know, the emotional field can be so powerful, and we have not yet learned how to really deal with emotional energy. So we become reactive, and we react then with explosive words or explosive moodiness sometimes when we are facing something like what your mother there might have, or the mother of that child might have been facing. So have compassion, have forgiveness in your heart, and have understanding, because we don't know what other people are experiencing in the moment. The moon in Cancer also rules mother energy. So it's interesting that it was the child's mother that was screaming at you. In that we, all things to do with mom, home, the feeling of that home-cooked meal, of what it felt like to be at home, the emotional roots that we have with our mothers, or just with home in general, and what's familiar, what's comforting, what's supportive of us. Now, that doesn't mean that all of you out there had mothers that were supportive. Some of you did not. Some of you may have had fathers that played the role of the supportive mother in your life. So it's not about the mother per se, but that mothering instinct and how we were nurtured and how we nurture. And that is the important thing for us to remember, is that that emotional roots of our family of origin, is very important in how it is that we deal with the world. Sometimes I don't think we really pay attention too much to that, because we just get out on with our lives. So maybe you grew up in an alcoholic home, or maybe you grew up in a really good home, and you find yourself reacting in your life to various stimuli based on your upbringing. So that's another thing that comes up for us while the moon is in Cancer. What's familiar, what's comforting perhaps, what's supportive, what irritated us can be triggered while the moon is in Cancer. So we want to watch out for a few things besides the emotional volatility, perhaps, or the emotional triggers. This isn't really volatile. This is more triggers, the something that might be said or done, or a feeling, a memory that comes up that reduces your confidence in yourself, or somehow lowers your self-esteem, that triggers you to go into hiding, right? Like the crab in the hard shell, retreating into that more, hiding the vulnerable spots within yourself, retreating into your shell, if you will. And looking at what the fears are that are being triggered for you, whether it's, for instance, Christine, with your experience with this mother, was it triggering a fear? Was it triggering an anger? Was it triggering a powerlessness? It's always very useful to sort of sort out what it was that was triggered with you. How did you get to be so calm during that experience? And, you know, maybe bottle that up for the next time, when maybe it's a more personal experience where you might be able to better react, or more negatively react. I think you did a very good job there staying calm in the face of that mother. But other times, if it's in a more comfortable situation with a loved one or a friend or someone, you know, closer to you, maybe the reaction to someone screaming at you would have been different. So trying to bottle up your reaction this time so that when it happens next, you are able to use that same skill that you showed in that reaction in the closer relationship. So fear triggers defensiveness. Cancer is often very defensive. When you think of the crab with the big claws coming after you, if you're intruding in its territory, defensiveness could be the negative expression of the moon in Cancer when a fear has been triggered for you. So for the next few days, we're watching out for those kinds of behaviors. and we are enjoying intimacy. We are coming together soul to soul and holding space for people to be emotional and for ourselves to work with our own emotions. Good stuff. So Marissa, I have been doing well with the moon in Gemini, and in this current void, my mind is pretty sharp and insights are flowing in. Just that, you know, and that's really the point of the first comment I made this morning, this info overload. So some people are better able to understand these things that are coming in, but you know what else could be your best friend? A pen and a journal or a piece of paper, even just to jot things down, or your telephone with, I don't know what I did with mine this morning, you know, with a recorder, just as these insights and things come up, to be able to chart them and log them so that you have access to them later as well. She's just trying to keep up with it all by making notes on my phone. Oh, good. And your journal. Perfect. I'm an Aquarius with the moon in Cancer. Perfect. Perfect. Good morning, Jennifer, Peachy. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Tracy. And Christine says, yes, I stayed calm, but I felt it didn't show it. Thanks. Well, check that. Is that just a feeling or was it the truth, right? So we are always faced with a whole host of feelings. There's often times in my life when I've been triggered by somebody and I've remained very calm, but inside things were just roiling, right? There's anger, there's seething, there's fear, there's all these things, but it's so overly emotional that I can't put it into words. So it doesn't come out. It doesn't, I might be outwardly calm, but inward there's so much going on, and it isn't until later that I can deal with that. So that also could be a part of the experience that we have these next few days, where there may be emotional triggers, but it's an overload of emotion, especially with all this information flooding in. And what do we do with it, right? How do we deal with it? We may not be able to right in the moment, but it likely will come up later. And of course, there's, you know, issues that might come up with that as well. So I told you that today Chiron turns direct, and it does indeed at 1 degree of Aries. Remember, Chiron moved into Aries late last year, and it moved forward to about the third, fourth degree. You know, maybe it was more like fifth degree of Aries, and then it turned retrograde on July 8th. So since July 8th, we've been dealing with the internal wounding, with the internal voices of that are keeping us, you know, down or wounding us. Now, today, we become more emotionally vulnerable as Chiron then moves out to the outer world expression of the wound, where it might be other people that are showing us the wound. Maybe it's other people that we're able to help because we've been through something on our own with Chiron having been in retrograde. So we're emotionally vulnerable. Perhaps we're finding solutions to the inner conflicts that we've been dealing with. Over the last several months, July, August, September, October, November, December, for almost 5 months, we've been dealing with some inner BS, right? The stuff, the old stuff. I remember talking to a friend just a few weeks ago, actually, and going, I thought I was done with all this stuff, right? I don't know why I'm still dealing with this. And that is our Chiron. When you hear yourself, you know, looking back and going, why am I dealing with this again? I thought I'd worked through all of this. And then you're still in reaction to that old, the old tapes or the old feelings, the old experiences. That is Chiron. And so Chiron now will move to the outer world. Now we'll get to demonstrate in the outer world how we've come to move through some of those fears and those wounds and those healing points. And often these are core wounds that we're experiencing, so that we might have experienced on the internal. So they could be things like betrayal or abandonment or guilt and shame and all kinds of, you know, the big core wounds of the in the human template that we have in the world. So we may have been avoiding it while, you know, we've been, you know, working with it on the inner planes, but now we're going to have to demonstrate that we've moved beyond that as Chiron now turns direct. Look to the house of your chart that has Aries. That is the sign of of Chiron's movement right now. And because it's at the first degree, we're, you know, this could be the beginning of a brand new you and brand new way of expressing yourself in the world through the wound in your lifetime, not holding on to it and continually being hurt by it, but the process that we get hurt and we heal, and then we get hurt again and we heal. So it's a process that is ongoing. And Aries is often the wound of independence, self-sufficiency, of your own individual personhood, and how it is that you show up in the world for yourself. And wherever Chiron is sitting in your chart is the area of your life that this is likely going to show up in. If it's in your first house, then it's definitely going to be something that shows up for you personally. If it's in your seventh house, it's going to show up in your relationships. If it's in your 10th house, it's going to show up in the world, in the way that you work with people in the outer world through your career or your profession. So the house of your chart that this is in is where you're going to notice the maybe an empowerment, right? Where things are strengthened for you and you can better express yourself. And the wound then becomes, I think sometimes the inner is the wounding and the outer expression then is the more demonstrating the healing of it. Although I would bet, depending on how it is set up in your own chart, is Chiron retrograde in your natal chart or is it direct? That could play a role as well. So lots of really good stuff here, but it can initially, remember, anytime a planet changes direction, initially it brings up the more difficult aspects of the transit. So for the next couple of days, we may be a little more raw. We may feel like we're a little more easily triggered, but that will smooth out as time goes on as well. Marjorie, I was just thinking that I'm going to start tracks what I'm learning with my feelings and my observations. That's a really great idea. Mari McDade, good morning. Sun and Ascendant Sagittarius with a Libra moon. Sun and Ascendant Sagittarius. So what are you on the hunt for in this lifetime? What adventure are you on? What are you exploring? Maybe even it's relationship oriented. Sounds like fun to me. Marjorie says, I've got to remember that it just showing me the wound. Exactly. That's the point. So profound there, Marjorie. You're just seeing the wound. You don't have to re-experience everything in your life that's caused a wound. Now, depending on where you are too in your Chiron, your Chiron transit, let's say, there's the first square that happens somewhere, you know, in your late teens, early 20s. And then there's the opposition that happens again, mid 20s to early 30s. And then, you know, so we have these various times, excuse me, I said that incorrectly. The first square happens in your late your early adolescence, like maybe right around, you know, puberty, then the next one in the 20s, and then the third one in your mid-30s, almost to the age 40, where you're at your Uranus opposition, and then at 50 or so, you have the Chiron return. And so you're in various phases of the wound as you go through your life. The closer you get to your Chiron return, the closer you are to your healing. So wherever you are in the age spectrum also plays a role in how this is showing up for you in your life. So I hope that makes sense. Chiron is a pretty deep exploration, and yet it's so worthy of us to go through it because it tells the tale of what it is that you're healing in this world, in this life. I mean, just like the South Node really shows you the karma that you came here into this life with, and the state of how you try to work through those very wounds, the Chiron return shows you now how you can move through it in a new way. So the closer you are to 50 years old, the closer you are to the healing, and that's one of those major cycles that we go through in our lifetime here on the planet. Good morning, Kathy Miller. And Mari says, forever learning and growing. You know, and what, Mari, that's so fun because that's sort of like forever young, right? Forever young. There are signs like Aries and Gemini and Sagittarius that sort of pick up that, and Leo, that pick up that youthful energy and stay sort of that forever young. There's also, yesterday we talked, I was answering a question for somebody yesterday about the sixth line profile in your human design. and the sixth line being triphasic, which means literally you go through these three phases of your life, with the third phase being the point at which you really carry on the mantle of, or you take on the mantle of, the role model. And the sixth line profile in someone's chart like that will also show you that they're very youthful because they're late bloomers, right? So they come into their own very late in life, often after the Chiron return. So it's sort of an interesting thing to look at as well. So the Chiron return for some people with the sixth line profile can be a time where your youth shows in the way that you suddenly come out of your shell, or you suddenly come out and burst out into the world in a more profound way. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mari. Yes. Okay, great. Now let's turn our attention to, I had this thought this morning, and sometimes I like to just give you my thoughts and let you sit with them and see how they feel for you. So I don't know why. I think it was when I was putting down this morning that the moon was going to be in a sextile to Uranus and Taurus, and that got me thinking about Uranus and Taurus. And the thing that astrologers were very sure of is that Uranus and Taurus was going to cause our economy some issues. And I'm looking out in the world and I'm going, I haven't seen. For example, when Uranus moved into Aries, it was greeted by the huge earthquake and tsunami in Japan. So it was like this bell ringer event that heralded the move of Uranus into the sign of Aries back in 2011. So when Uranus moved into Taurus in 2018, you know, immediately we were all thinking something huge, right? Something big, because that's often how Uranus announces himself, right? He just sort of shows up in sometimes it's a tragedy, sometimes it's just a surprising revelation, but there wasn't anything huge, and there still hasn't really been anything major that I could point to and say, that's Uranus and Taurus. But I was thinking about the fact that Uranus in Taurus also rules Earth. It's the Earth symbol. It's the Earth sign. And that also Taurus energy represents the agriculture, the soil, right? The dirt. And what happens with dirt is it erodes, right? So when you're a farmer, one of the big issues that you always have to deal with is runoff from rain or from irrigation, and the runoff of soil and the depletion of the soil, and also from wind blowing soil away, contributing, for example, to the Dust Bowl of the 30s, right? The winds, dry soil, eroding, right? Erosion. And we see this happening all the time. That's a natural part of the planet, erosion of rock into soil and soil into smaller bits of soil, and eventually washing off downstream into the water. So is there an erosion of our economy? Is there an erosion in our values? Is there an erosion in our relationships with one another, in our agriculture, in our banking? It reminded me that sometimes Uranian rebellion isn't something that happens in the moment or in a flash. It happens with insistence over time. And is that what we're actually seeing? So I throw that out there for you guys to consider. Because I was one of those astrologers that was just sitting back going, wow, what kind of big hits are we going to take? And we haven't. I mean, we've had tariff thing. We've had ups and downs in the stock market, and so have what I haven't seen is anything major that to me is disruptive. But if I look closer, what I might be seeing is that erosion of our common values, of our economy, of greed. There might be, you know, the positive aspects of it too, as things, you know, we're washing away that division and that polarization maybe. I don't know, but I think it's worthy of our consideration and watching for that in our outer worlds. So now let's go to our Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Today we are in three remembering energy. Remembering energy is Manik in the Mayan calendar. It was represented by the hand. Sometimes it was also called the deer. It is an energy that reminds us of peace and equality, cooperation, and sensitivity. That kind of dovetails a little bit with our movement of the moon into Cancer. We're finding joy through how we serve the world. And lest you think that service is something demeaning, service is really how you share of your gifts and your talents with everybody, how your light shines in the world. That's how I like to look at the energy of service, Virgo energy, or the sixth house energy. How do you allow your light to show up in the world? And so finding joy through how you do that, through your pathway of service, is a part of this remembering energy. And here it is bringing up a time for us to remember that we're all connected and that we can all live in abundance and in freedom and in love and in joy and in peace and in harmony, right? It isn't something that only some people get. It's available to all when we cooperate, when we balance our independence and our needs for individuation and to be a person on our own with the needs of family, tribe, or community, and to be the part of that as well, to allow yourself to be both a singular being and a part of a group. And that is all the remembering energy. So remember your tribe, who supports you out there, where, what groups of friends or what groups of people do you feel most supported with? Is it your family? And having been a Monique myself all my life here, a two Monique, not a three, I know what this energy feels like because I'm often feeling pulled in two opposite directions, right? My family and my ties to my family and my obligations and responsibilities to family, which I take on cheerfully. I absolutely adore my family, but also then that juxtaposes against my need to be an individual out in the world and having a community or even just doing the work that I love, and then being called back to family responsibilities and then back to work responsibilities. So here in this sign is when we remember that we are more than just what we do in the world. We're also who we are within our relationships and who we are as a human being. Now that's the earth energy of the day, the universal energy of the day, which is the number represented by three today. This is the energy of the universe. So wherever we are, whatever life form we are, this is the energy that we are resonating with today. The universal energy is about creating. So here's where intentions begin to become visible. So if we look at what happened to us 2 days ago with the initiation energy of the one, what did we set out to do, or what did we set out to achieve? What did we, you know, want to accomplish? Well, now we begin to see the results of those kinds of things. It's like the new moon, those first few days after the new moon, when we begin to see the results of what we've created. And this is another kind of call for us to share our gifts with the world, because it begins to emerge out of us the natural way that it is that we're meant to show up in whatever way it is that, whatever gifts it is that you have to share with the world, whatever it is that you are here to do or give or share. So here we create, and then we start to share that with everyone around us. So we started with initiation. Then we moved into duality, where we had decisions to make about what direction, and now we're creating, right? And then we'll move in tomorrow to the four energy, which builds the foundation. So we build these numbers one upon the other in a spiral of 13, right? These are 13 numbers. And in that, we are moving each time we move through this week of 13, we're building that spiral. We're spiraling our consciousness and creating more and more of who it is that we're here to be. All right. Well, literally, that is it for me today. I'm going to take a look over here at questions if anybody's got anything. Marzina, good morning to you. Mimi says, Uranus and Taurus, climate issues. The economy is being affected cost-wise due to earth issues, fire, floods, rising oceans. Yes, that's true too, right? While Taurus doesn't rule the climate, it rules the effects the climate has on the earth. So, I was thinking about this last night too, when we were doing the astrology for 2020, that, you know, Capricorn is a sign of cold, right? Of coldness. And I don't mean that as a value statement about the sign. It just represents cold weather, cold, dry weather. And then on the other side, you know, you have Cancer energy, which is warmer, wetter weather. Wada, wada, wada. So water, water everywhere. So we have water and then we have earth energy. And I think that, you know, it contributes to the rising oceans, to water issues, either drought or more water in some places than what they need. So I think there are big things working, you know, at the level of climate. Uranus and Taurus, I think, just starts to really show us how that climate change erodes what happens here on the earth, right? And the effects. So you're very astute there, Mimi. Laura Pass-Cammer, good morning. Marissa says, off-topic question about Rosie Aronson's Oracle cards. I know they are connected to the gene keys in human design. How would I use those on a daily basis? Or is it more appropriate to use them on a weekly basis? Well, that's a really good question. And here's the deck. Of course, it is Rosie Aronson's Wisdom Keeper's Oracle Deck and Inner Guidebook. And I struggle with this one a bit too. I mean, I use it to show you the stories that she's written in here about the different gene keys or gates as we're experiencing them in the world. But I think you could use them on a weekly basis to really connect to the energy of the week. So for example, we've been in the week with gate 26 where the sun is and gate 45 as the earth. And what does that mean? So you could go to the deck of cards here and you could read the story. You could contemplate that. But I think also there's something useful with these cards in terms of using your own incarnation cross in your human design as a self-study or a contemplation. So I would start with the conscious sun. And I don't remember, Marissa, what that looks like in your own chart. So I apologize. I just don't remember offhand. But take your conscious sun and your conscious earth and dig into those two. And then take the unconscious sun and the unconscious earth. Those would be your life purpose, sun and earth. And contemplate these. And then maybe at other times you just need direction and you can pull a card. I personally just don't see this deck as an oracle in the same way that I see the wisdom of the oracle or the spirit animal deck or the goddesses. To me, this is more intentional than that, if that makes sense. I hope that answers your question. I guess the bottom line is it's appropriate to use them however you see fit. There are no hard and fast rules about them. So what feels good to you is probably the best way for you to use them. So that's a great question too. And by the way, this is based very much on the gene keys and human design. That's where she burst out into the world. She learned human design and then connected with Richard Rudd in the gene keys. And so she has some really profound insights. And I just love the work that she does and the way she presents it. It's all very gentle and uplifting. And even the stories, even though the wisdom story itself might sometimes travel into the shadow energy, it's still sort of a gentle ride into that. It's not the harsh, blaring kind of things. You're sort of learning through the story. And I like that about those cards. Okay, makes sense. Good, 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 good. Anybody else have any questions or comments, problems that you want to talk about? I mean, we could be a community here and we can help one another through anything. So if anybody has something that they're struggling with that they want to talk about, let me know about that. Tomorrow is Friday. I cannot even believe it. It's Friday the 13th tomorrow. I didn't know that. Yikes. Tomorrow's Friday the 13th. Hallelujah. We have a sacred day coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll take a look at, tomorrow's a green light day. If you look at your chart, it's a day of greenness. So it's a good day for some things. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Mars in a trine to Neptune and Venus conjunct Pluto. That's some pretty good power right there, Mars and Neptune. So the moon, of course, fully in Cancer tomorrow. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll take a look ahead at the weekend. So tomorrow's green light day is followed by Saturday's red day, which is because the moon in Cancer then opposes those wonderful South Node, Saturn and Pluto, Chiriclo, and the other gang of planets all in Capricorn. And Sunday, the moon moves into Leo. So we'll have a lot to talk about as far as the weekend is concerned. I don't see anything popping up here, so I guess that is it for me. I will see you all tomorrow morning. Have a great day. Thank you so much for joining me here live this morning. Until then, take care. Bye for now.